Please take your Bibles and turn with me tonight to Galatians chapter 5. Some time ago we began to look at the fruit of the Spirit, and tonight we return there and we begin reading in verse 13. Galatians chapter 5. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then we have the book of Galatians before we get to Ephesians. Now, before we read God's word tonight, let me just remind you again of something of the context of the fruit of the Spirit. It's very clear in this whole letter that the Apostle Paul is emphatic that we are saved not by what we do, but by what Christ has done. And so when we speak of the fruit of the Spirit, it is those things we need to manifest in our lives, not in order so that we are saved by what we do. No, we do these things, we manifest them because we are saved. It is Christ in me that manifests through His Spirit these fruit. And that's the second thing we need to understand. These fruits are born not out of human action, but by the power of the Spirit. We are called to walk in step with the Spirit, to march after the Spirit, to let the Spirit lead us. That's our calling, to let Him moment by moment control our actions and our behavior. But ultimately, what we seek to have manifested in our life is not human fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. And as Jesus reminded us last week, it is fruit that comes in close abiding with Him, the Savior. If we remain in Him, if any man, says Christ, remain in me, and I remain in Him, he will bear much fruit. That's the promise. And so it's in that light, in that context, keeping all of these things clearly in mind, that we turn tonight and we're going to look at the fruit of patience and its manifestation in our life. And for that, we begin reading in verse 13 of Galatians chapter 5. This is God's infallible, inerrant, eternal, abiding word. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Listen to this from Ecclesiastes 7. The end of the matter is better than its beginning. Patience is better than pride. Being long in spirit, says the Hebrew, patient, is better than being high in spirit, being proud. It's a strange contrast, isn't it? Patience and pride. And yet if we understand that contrast, we will understand that behind all of our impatience lurks the monster of pride. Once we grasp that, we will understand the humility and faith we need to manifest patience. Patience. Now, to grow the fruit of patience, we need to grasp that our God manifests patience in all its glory and all its brilliance. And it's Him that we need to imitate. God is patient. He manifests, He shows us what patience is. He's the supreme example. When Peter writes about men who laugh at us because of our faith, who poke fun at us because God has promised so many years ago that He's going to come back soon. He's not here yet. What has become of those promises? Why didn't God come as He promised to come? Has He overslept? Has He forgotten? Has He lost His way? Has He changed His mind? What has become of the promises of God? We still hear those mockings going on. How does Peter explain that? After he reminds us that God's watch works different than our watches. Because God doesn't measure time like we do. One day is like 1,000 years on God's time scale. And 1,000 years is like one day. After that, Peter says, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting that any perish, but everyone come to repentance. The slowness of God in coming with His judgment and anger against the sinfulness of man is a manifestation of His patience. It's not His unfaithfulness. Not the fact that He's not going to fulfill His promise. It's because He's patient. He's patient. He waits and waits and waits. He postpones His judgment. He postpones His wrath because He longs for men and women to repent and turn from their sinful ways to Him. So what we see is that patience is first of all a divine attribute. And it's a divine attribute that manifests itself in the midst of our sinfulness. That's key. Because patience that God demands from us is patience that is manifested in the midst of a sinful world. You and I need patience because we are not in the heavenly kingdom in all its consummated glory yet. And until we're there, we must emulate our God and manifest patience. Patience. And this means that patience is first of all our general approach to life in this fallen world. Merely as Christians living in this fallen world requires patience. This is a general attitude that should be manifested in our life. And this is such a big concept that we don't have time to go into everything tonight. I want to focus on the second part. But it's very important that you and I understand that patience is the general approach that we need as Christians in this fallen world. We live amidst sinners. You don't have to be convinced of that, do you? You just watch the news. You read your newspapers. You discover the deceit, the brokenness, the fallenness of this world. We are not yet in the heavenly kingdom. And as Christians, as we wait for Christ to return, as we wait for His Word and His promises to be fulfilled, it requires patience. We have to wait for God to act. And that is so painful, isn't it? It is so painful. It is sometimes so unbearable to live in this fallen world as we wait and long and yearn for the glory of Christ to come. And patience is that attribute which we should manifest as we wait and long for God. You see, it's an act of faith. It's an act of faith in which we cling to the promises of God's Word. Promises which we cannot always see, but which we know is true because God has given them to us. That's the antidote to hopelessness, to despair, to cynicism. It's clinging to God, waiting upon Him, patience. I'm tempted to delve deeper, but I'll refrain. We spoke about this kind of patience earlier when we looked at Lord's Day 10 and providence of God. It's manifested there. Sometimes manifested in our own life as we wait long, long for God's promises to be fulfilled. Hebrews 6 gives us that charge. Hebrews 6 verse 12, we hear the writer say, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what was promised. Who are those who through faith and patience have inherited that which was promised? Abraham, here's the example we should turn to. God made him a promise. He swore by himself, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. 25 years Abraham had to wait in faith for the promise to be fulfilled. And the promise was fulfilled. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. That's the general attitude in this fallen world. Patience. Flesh it out in your own life. But secondly, living with fallen sinners in this world requires patience. In our human relationships, in various levels, requires us to manifest patience, the fruit of the Spirit. It is the sin of others, the folly of others, the faults of others, the sinfulness of others, which provokes us and calls us to manifest this grace of patience. And to manifest that requires humility, it requires faith. Humility to emulate God. To show patience to sinners. To wait for God. And not the pride to act in our own strength for ourselves. It takes faith to wait for God. To cling to God. I'll work that out in more detail as we get more specific. Three areas in which especially patience must be manifested as we live with sinners. The first is when sinners mistreat us. And this often happens. We're in situations where we're maligned. Bad things are said about us. They laugh at us. They scorn us. They poke fun at us. Or if you're in married maybe to an unbeliever, you face that rejection, that scorn. Maybe at work, you're on the opposite end of office politics. You feel the burden, the weight of being maligned. People poke fun at you behind your back. What do you do? The Christians here face this kind of thing. We read in verse 15, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out that you will not be destroying each other. We know there were conflicts in this church. And in the midst of that, he says, bear patience as a fruit of the Spirit. How do you and I bear patience, not becoming bitter, not becoming resentful, not desiring revenge? Because that's our natural attitude, isn't it? When people say bad things about me or malign me or abuse me, my desire is to punish them. My desire is to seek revenge, to maneuver and steer things that I can triumph over them and laugh at them for them laughing at me. That's our natural attitude, isn't it? How do you and I go about to manifest the patience that the Spirit bears in us in these circumstances? There's many more, but at least two foundational building blocks to this kind of patience. The first is to, in faith, embrace God's justice. When you and I are abused, you and I need to understand that God is a just God. We spoke about it this morning. It's of utmost importance that we realize that the one who judges sin is not me and you. Because that's pride. We want to play God. We want to execute. We want revenge. Pride. No, we need to understand it is God's prerogative to judge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And therefore, says Paul, do good when others do evil to you. Because vengeance belongs to God. And listen to these beautiful words from Peter as he speaks to servants whose masters abuse them. He says to them, follow your master in his example, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 verse 23. When they hurled insults at him, at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. What did Jesus do? Jesus entrusted himself completely to his Father who judges justly against sin. Therefore, he did not hurl insults back. Therefore, he did not retaliate. He left it to his Father. Now if he could do that, my brothers and sisters, he is the judge of all the earth, isn't he? Now. He entrusted himself to his Father. You and I need to follow our Master and entrust ourselves to him who judges justly. God will judge those who abuse us. You and I don't need revenge. The writer to the Proverbs says the same thing beautifully. Proverbs 20 verse 22. Don't say, I will pay you back for this wrong. Have you ever said that? You just have to grow up with some siblings. And you know these words very powerfully. I'll get you back. I'll get you. You just wait. Don't say that, says the writer to Proverbs. Why? Wait for the Lord. He will deliver you. Entrust yourself to the Lord. He will work things out for you. Patience. And the second thing, and it's correlated to this, not merely should we have faith in the justice of God to make things right, but we should also have faith in the faithfulness of God. God will not only judge our enemies, but He will be faithful to us always. You see, what is part of our desire to seek revenge, to take the matter in our own hand, is because we don't trust God to deal with us righteously, faithfully. If I don't deal with the matter, who will take care of me? Have you ever thought that? That's a novel idea, isn't it? Entrust yourself to God. He's faithful. Peter again, he says in chapter 4, verse 19 of 1 Peter, he says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. What should you do when you suffer, says Peter? He says, commit yourself and trust yourself to who? Your faithful Creator. And what do you do then? You do good, he says. Why? Because He is faithful. That's why. And because He is faithful, every trial and every difficulty you face, every person who maligns you, every abuse, really is an act through which God is working in your life. Trust Him. Believe His promise that when He said, all things will work for good for those who love Him, He means all things, even the abuse, even the office politics, even the maligning of others. He is faithful. He can do it. You have a conversation with Joseph. Go read from chapter 35 onwards of Genesis. And you listen and see what happens in Joseph's life. And have Joseph manifest the glory of Christ in entrusting himself to the faithfulness of God. You, he says to his brothers, meant it for evil, but God, the one to whom I've entrusted myself, He meant it for good. Oh, may we manifest that kind of patience. Patience in the face of mistreatment. But we also need patience in the face of the provokings of others. And here we are in a different position. In the first, being mistreated, we're often in a position of powerlessness. We don't have the power to retaliate often. But when we're provoked, we're in a position of power. And now, we have the power to act. We can exercise our authority to make things better for us. This is the position of parents in regards to their children. It's the position of those who own their own businesses and have employers. It's those who are in charge. And often we are provoked by those who are under us. Constant nagging, constant pressures. Now we can act. We don't have to wait, do we? I can do what I want. I'm in charge here. I'm the dad. They bother me. I can act. being provoked, quick to lose our temper. How do we need patience in this area? See, I'm struck by the playoff between the two, because often when we're maligned at work and we come home, we're the boss at home, and we take out what others do to us at home, and our children suffer what we suffer, or the people under us. How do we fight against that? My brothers and sisters, you and I should here emulate our Father, God, in His infinite patience against the sinful rebellion of men and women. He is slow to anger. We read that this morning from Exodus 34. As God reveals Himself, He reveals Himself as what? A God who is slow to anger. He doesn't fly off the handle the moment something is out of place, because He's patient. He is so patient. James tells us we need to be slow to anger. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter many of us love to read, the love chapter, he says, love is patient. Love endures wrong. It endures wrong. Key to this is for you and I to meditate on God's patience to us. You see, it's when we lose sight of God's patience with us that we are quick to fly off the handle when others provoke us. How patient is God to you and I? Think of your life. Think of your... Just take a day out of your life and think how often you violate God's law. How often you provoke your Father. And what does He do? Does He zap you out of heaven? Is there thunderbolts, lightning striking you? No! Why? Because He's patient with us. He bears long with us. That's the kind of God He is. And because of who He is, you and I need to be the same with our children, with those around us who provoke us. We need to emulate God. We're quick to seek revenge, to execute punishment. God is slow, extremely slow. We respond in anger, God responds in love. We seek to maintain ourselves. It's again pride that lurks behind losing our temper, isn't it? I don't have things my way. I deserve to have it my way. My children need to give me the time I need now. And if they don't, they'll pay for it. You see how we think? It's our pride. We need to learn from our Father to be patient. That doesn't mean we neglect what they need when they do these things. Our children need to be corrected, but they need to be corrected in love with patience. There's a verse in James that you and I should think long and hard about. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. Man's anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. It never does. It never will. Therefore, we need to be slow to anger. James 1, by the way, 19 and 20. Finally, not merely should we show patience when we are mistreated, Not only should we show patience when we are provoked, but we also should show patience with the faults of those around us. It requires patience to live very close with any sinner. I tell couples who get married that marriage is a turbocharge to sanctification. And when you get children, it's kind of a double turbocharge to sanctification. And what is that? It's because we're all stuck under one roof with one another. All our foibles and faults are constantly in each other's face. And sometimes we just can't take it, can we? We just don't like the mannerisms of some people. Some people, just the way they speak, freaks us out, irritates us. We just want to walk away. Just their mannerisms just bugs us. We don't know why. There's no real reason for it. We're just put off by it. And in the household of God, it's the same thing. There's some people that some of you seek to avoid. You seek to walk circles around them. Uh-oh, here she comes. Let me get out of the way. I need to do something in the kitchen. Why is that? Partly is because we think we're better than others. Subtly. We don't like to think we're better than others, do we? I never like to be called proud or arrogant. But it's there. It lurks in our hearts. We look down our noses at others. We just don't like it because they are not like us. How often do we not speak of the ineptitude of other people? Of their social inadequacies? Of their failures? We speak about it in such degrading terms. We need patience to bear with other people. That patience is not born just out of civility. It's born by the Spirit of God. It's an act of God in our hearts. To love our brothers and sisters in the Lord as we have been loved by God. That's what it requires. It's to bear with one another in love, as Paul puts it in Ephesians 4. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You see, my brothers and sisters, what you and I need to understand is that the people we struggle with are the very people through which the Spirit works unity. We're united with them as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And therefore we're called to bear with them in love. And what does that love look like? That love means it covers a multitude of sins, a multitude of things that grieve us, a multitude of faults that we find in them. Patience. That's what it is. Patience. What happens when we manifest this patience? We manifest that we belong not to ourselves, but to our Savior Jesus Christ. We manifest that we have been bought with such a glorious price that our lives is beginning to look like the one who paid that price. My brothers and sisters, is patience a priority in your life? Is it something you desire? Is it something you work towards? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word which cuts straight through our hearts, exposing us and laying us bare. We are reminded tonight of our impatience and the pride that lurks behind it. We've also been reminded of your infinite patience with sinners and especially with us. Oh Lord, may your Spirit continue to do his work within our hearts and lives. And may we as your people truly manifest patience, that we would show to the world and to one another that we have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we have crucified our sinful nature and the works of the flesh. And now we live not for ourselves, but for you, manifesting by the power of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Give us patience, patience to bear living in the sinful world, patience to bear living with other sinners, so that in our relationships we may manifest the wonder of Christ's love for us in showing it to others. Be especially with us as parents in showing patience to our children, to raise them to understand the glorious majesty of Christ. We pray this, Lord, not because we deserve it, but in Christ alone. Amen.